Thank you so much, Chelsea. I want to hand it over to Carrie Kelly. What kind of tools are you equipping yourself with, and what kind of conversations are you having, or how are you taking care of yourself?
I'm pulling out all the tools these days. I'm really sort of resonating with ch what Chelsea was saying. I think the greatest tool for me has been community circles. And I've sat in on a lot of community circles, and I've been really inspired by how many have been sort of organically popping up all over the country, in rapid response, right? People came together in living rooms and yoga studios and working places. I remember the day after the election, I work in a co-working space called Civic Hall, and it's a civic tech space. And at lunch, everyone piled into the cafe, 75 people, and we did a circle. And we've never done that before. And so it was so clear right from the beginning that we were in a new moment and we had to actually resource in a new way. And I think people were really open to being creative around that. But obviously we've known that, right, in the off the mat community for a long time, and in the yoga community, that coming together in circle, in shared practice, in shared conversation, in shared action, isn't just productive, it's really healing and transformative. And so that has been of great service for me. Some of the things I'm witnessing in those circles is, and Chelsea made mention of this, really bold truth telling. And I say that really deliberately because I know in our community, in the yoga community, right, there tends to be a leaning towards being more palatable or being neutral, right, or not wanting to be too politicized in the yoga room, right? We've talked about that a lot. We talked about that leading up to the election, and I think there's a lot of people now throwing that out the window and realizing that there is nothing neutral about this moment. And to be neutral, right, is really to do a disservice to our community and to our values and to our practice. And so there's something there that people are finding their voice in a new way and are feeling permission to say the things that they mean, and to take more risks, right, in the way in which we're telling the truth. And this week is a perfect example of that, right, as we have to contemplate and reconcile Standing Rock and Thanksgiving, right? Right, there's such great tension and conflict in those two things. And so there is an elevated conversation that tends to be happening. And I do think that people are more are becoming more courageous, right? You said that. I love the idea of courageous conversation, in the ways in which they're leaning in to conversation, knowing that it will make them uncomfortable, right? These conversations are they're inconvenient. They knock people out of their safety zone, and yet they're showing up anyway, right? And we're doing that in the context of community, so we can kind of hold one another in that, and hold space for conflict and disagreement. So that feels good practice, real time alive. Radical present practice, that is actually moving the needle, in the direction that we want to see it go. And I think the other thing that I think we're talking about all the time now is just around what does solidarity look like, right? This is definitely a moment where we have to be more discerning, right, about what's at stake, who's at risk, right? Whose well-being do we need to prioritize and sequence in this moment? And what are the ways in which we can show up in solidarity with skill, and nuance and capacity and be willing to make mistakes and be wrong, right? But work together in relationship, to move forward as a community towards the thing that is going to make everybody well, right? Which is dismantling the system that is increasingly revealing itself to us. So I just want to say, like, and I'm speaking because I have many moments of despair. So I'm trying to, like, actually name the things that really feel like movement. And for those of us who have been doing this work for a long time, right, and feel prepared, I love how you said that, Jacoby. I really can say, like, honestly, that, like this is a new moment in our community and in our practice, and more people are leaning in. And we've got a lot of work to do, right? Because we really need to bring everybody along in this conversation. I just wanted to, like, make note, because I know Crystal, worry, I don't know if I'm spelling your name right, but I just, like, I was seeing your note on chat. And if I could kind of bring it into sort of some of the conversation that I was having around, I know that you're in a teacher training in Oklahoma. And you were talking about being frustrated that even in the yoga community, people are having a hard time understanding that perspective. And it's funny, like, and I want to, like, affirm that. I think that's really true. And those of us that are facilitators and teachers and organizers of this community, right, see that all the time, that while there are a lot of people coming along, there are also a lot of people falling in line. And by falling in line, I mean, like, normalizing this moment already and sort of moving on with their life. And it's funny, like, one of the things I feel really called to is, in addition to, right, wanting to reach across the aisle and listen, right, and understand, like, seek to really understand Trump voters and where they're coming from and why and how they might be suffering and participating in this. I often think that there are more people in proximity, in closer proximity even to us at the center of this yoga community, who are not coming along in this way in which we're talking about courageous conversations. And so a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about in our circles is, instead of trying to analyze the other voter, right, which is always sort of like not necessarily a seek to understand, but a seek to, like, convince or change, like, who are the people that are close to us and the people that may have even voted like us, who are not participating in a courageous conversation, who are not actively resisting this administration, who are not taking action in solidarity with those who are going to be most vulnerable. And so I think those conversations are even trickier because they're nuanced, because people might agree with you, right, in theory or intellectually, but are we really moving forward together in body, right? Are we moving forward together in action? Are we moving forward together in collaboration and in the vision that we're holding for what this looks like when it's dismantled and rebuilt? And so that's one of the things. So Crystal, like, I totally hear you, and I feel that frustration everywhere I turn in this community in particular, because it's easy to bypass, right, to, like, meditate away this problem, right, to go into, like, our safe space and retreat, which, when really it's like a dissociation from engaging in a difficult conversation that's going to make us uncomfortable and make us have to, like, face the truths and see the thing that we're being forced to see. So I just want to, like, affirm that, yes, that is happening. And so, like, I think the muscle we need to build is not just the muscle around how do we reach across the aisle and engage people that might not think like us, right? But how do we look within our community for the people that are standing right next to us and are not engaged? And there are a lot of them. There are a lot of them, and we need to bring those folks along, right? So what does that conversation look like? Where it's not about conflict, but it's about integrity and showing up, and, like, the way the practice is really revealing itself in this moment politically. I don't know if I answered your question, but
thank you. Thank you. Sean, you're next up. And if your voice gets marbled, I might move on. but there have been a few questions about how to deal with grief specifically, like tools to move through grief and having a heavy heart and being with that in you know, in the midst of, like, feeling like that we need to have conversations or we need to do action. How to balance that, negotiate that.
Sure. Jacoby, let me know if you're not hearing me so that I stop talking. And I'm not just talking to a blank screen. Well, first, I want to say, I'm going to get to the grief part in a moment, but I want to talk a little bit about action, you know, being here at Standing Rock and bearing witness firsthand to the Native American people coming together. Over 300 tribes have come together to participate in an action in solidarity, in opposition to the police, to the military, to DAPL, the oil company, yet committed to doing it by putting love and prayer and ceremony first. And it doesn't mean that they're passive. It doesn't mean that they're not resisting. It doesn't mean they're not defiant, but they refuse to meet violence with violence. And behind the scenes, their commitment is to self-care amongst the community. So there is space for processing. There is space to talk about what trauma is. There is space just to go and receive a hug if that's what's necessary. They put certain principles above others, and that includes respect and gratitude. And these are people who have been exploited for, God, countless years at this point, hundreds and hundreds of years, who have experienced isolation within our national community, alienation, genocide, and unimaginable bias and prejudice still to this day. And yet the elders are coming together and they are making it very clear that the principles of the Native American people is founded in compassion. And if they don't move with that ideal intact, then it's not that they're as bad as everyone else, but there's going to be a dismantling within the structure, within the family, within the community that will be irreparable. It'll be irreparable within the soul. And one of the things that I heard yesterday in the very beginning of an action, police on one side, all different people, because there's so many different ages and colors and races and tribes all mixed together, in participating in this action. But here they are burning sage and chanting and saying prayers while just 100 feet away, there are Humvees and cops in riot gears and fire trucks that, you know, have the hoses to spray everyone down and these huge speakers that let out a noise that it's absolutely deafening and very dangerous. But what the elder did, he said, they burn us with tear gas, we burn sage. They hit us with rubber bullets, we hit them back with prayer. And that has been the continued mantra of this experience, is that the entire action is a ceremony. And it's a ceremony that is dependent upon love, but it doesn't mean passivity. That right now participation is required, action is required, community is required, all hands on deck. And that I look at this, at what we've experienced here at Standing Rock, it really models how I want to approach going towards these holidays. The only problem with that for me is I also know that I haven't had the hundreds of years that the Native Americans have had to deal with some of the trauma. This kind of behavior is expected. They're used to it. It's familiar within the tribes, this kind of, your lives don't matter. Here, we'll just take this land. Here, we'll just take your lives, your resources, whatever it is. There's a familiarity in that, where in some ways they're more prepared, whereas I'm feeling the outrage. I'm feeling the discomfort. I am very present to the how unfair. And as a result of that, my own deep trauma around inequality and lack of fairness is very much activated and triggered. And it means that I could be very reactive as a way to discharge some of that energy. So I know that I need to make sure that I'm processing. And that means crying, raging, calling my friends and saying things that are incredibly unspiritual so that I get the discomfort and the anger out of my body before I participate and go heart to heart, head to head, maybe even toe to toe with someone who has a different point of view than my own. So I'm not quite yet in the place of many of the wise elders that I've met, that I've been in association with over the last couple of days. But I hold that as an example of what is possible when you put love first, but love not equaling passivity, love equaling participation. So my choice is to go into the holidays and participate with love, to listen more than I speak, because I know that right now I'm not ready to speak without getting overwhelmed or angry or confrontational, because that's my nature. So it's better that I practice silence, I practice compassion, I practice breathing, I practice remaining grounded. And I need to cry a lot. I need to make sure that there is a lot of space to be able to communicate and express the things that I'm afraid of. I'm afraid for my friends of color. I'm afraid for my friends who are in the queer community. I'm afraid for people who already have so many issues related to inequality or lack of access to resources. I'm afraid of my cousin who is married to a woman who is of color and who is feeling the threat of people around her, but because of the things they say, like build a wall or go home, back to your own country. These are the things that I'm feeling that deep grief for, and I want to be able to process it. And I'm hoping that anyone who's listening gives themselves time and space to make sure that they also, if they're afraid for themselves or for people that they know and love, that it gets acknowledged and addressed, that it's, even if you have to write it down and really look at, these are the things that I'm afraid of. And write down, I'm afraid because, I'm scared because, until you can get to the final one, which is, I'm sad because, and really try to identify it, because those energies will come out in other ways, and often in passive aggressive or really reactive ways that can create way more conflict than is necessary. So these are some of the ways in which I intend to deal with my own grief. Luckily, I'm going to be with the portion of my family who are communicative and liberal, and where I feel very safe to be able to say exactly what I want to say, at least for Thanksgiving. I don't know what's going to happen at Christmas, but I'm thankful that I have a lot of time between now and then to be able to process and be in community, which is essential. So that's really for now how I want to answer that. And also for anyone who's listening, to keep tracking their body, to keep checking in, to really notice the impulse to do things out of the ordinary, like drink or do drugs or smoke cigarettes or have too much sugar or act out sexually. These are indicators that something else is going on. And if that's the case, please get to a meeting or call a friend, or find books that you know are books of inspiration and support, and make sure you, maybe in the morning you get up and you read a chapter before you have to go out into the world. But have a game plan for yourself. Have a person you can call who's a safe person on Thanksgiving, where you can excuse yourself, go to the bathroom, call them and rant for 15 minutes. Get it out of your system, take a breath, go back to the table. Now, with that said, and I'm not the best person to address this, and maybe Jacoby, you will be, there might be some people who are listening who don't want to play nice for the holidays, who are willing to shake things up, who might have to draw a line and say, I'm not going to be able to stay at this table if you continue to talk to me with this much disrespect. That might be where you're at within your own healing. And so I don't want to suggest that the best thing always to do is just listen and remain silent, if that's the safest choice. It might be for some people on this call, but for others, there might be other ways you intend to approach it, really dependent upon who you are, where you're at, and your own experience of trauma, and your own unwillingness to tolerate any more bias and discrimination and prejudice, especially on behalf of your own family. So I don't know, Jacoby, if you would be better suited to address that kind of direct action if you're standing in that kind of opposition to your family and wanting to make a stand?